Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you learn to identify, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family are not only going to just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries in Hiawassee, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, what's going to be on our schedule for our 30-minute time together today? Well, first, you are about to discover or maybe rediscover that in every minute of your material and your financial life, you are going to be involved in an emotional, in a physical, and in a spiritual battle. And you are also going to begin to discover how the Bible says that you can win each and every one of those emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial battles. And remember, my friend, as we go through this time together, you can always visit our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org to either re-listen to or to get a transcript of today's program or any of our other earlier radio seminar programs as well. All right? Okay, then after our radio seminar time together, you are going to learn all about the latest TikTok scam, which promises to turn a few hundred dollars worth of cryptocurrency into thousands and thousands of dollars in absolutely no time at all. You're going to learn what this TikTok scam is all about and how to avoid it. And then, during our Minute with Maxwell time together, Christian leadership author and teacher and trainer, mentor and coach John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word impact. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord that you're not going to want to miss. And let's start by making sure it is the Lord who is in charge and directing this time together with him. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us and teaching us and challenging us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear and the faith to put into practice all that it is that you have planned for us today to your glory? In Jesus' mighty name we ask, amen. Now, as we get started in our radio seminar time together, I have a couple of questions for you. Now, if you're driving, I just want you to listen and to think about these questions, okay? Now, if you are not driving, well, you might want to grab a pencil and a piece of paper so you can write down your answers to these same questions, all right? Okay, here are the questions. Question number one, why do you suppose it is that some people struggle and struggle and struggle and never reach their financial goals? I mean, why do you think that is? Now, think about it and maybe even write down your answer, okay? That's the first question. Now, question number two. Why do you think it is that some folks seem to have continued financial success without any effort at all? No effort at all, but they're always seeming to be financially successful. Why do you think that is? And again, I either think about it in your mind or take just a second, write down your answer, all right? Okay, now, what is the point of these two questions? Well, very simple, actually. These questions drive us directly to the Bible for answers. You see, under the authority of God's Word, both answers can be found in the Ephesians chapter 6 discussion of spiritual warfare and God's spiritual armor. You see, according to the Bible, in every minute of your material and your financial life, you're going to be involved in emotional and physical and spiritual battles. And according to the Bible, you are either going to win or you are going to lose those battles. There is no middle ground. You are either going to be the victor or you are going to become the victim. But the good news is the choice is yours. You see, you can choose to get to know who your enemy is and know how to fight and learn how to win, especially particularly in the area of finances. My friend, as we work our way through our radio seminar times together, you are going to begin to see the link between spiritual warfare, the seven pieces of God's spiritual armor, and your personal finances. Now, I know, you may be thinking something like, hey, wait a minute, Bob, I already know a thing or ten about God's spiritual armor, and I can only count six pieces. Yes, my friend, if that's what you're thinking, then you are going to be in for a surprise or two, all right? Now, today, right now, you are going to start this part of our journey together with some critical background information on the book of Ephesians, and then a bit of background on Ephesians chapter 6, which is where you're going to find Paul's teaching on God's spiritual armor. Now, as we get started, the first thing that I want to do is to share with you a couple of short stories, okay? So I want you just to sit back, get comfortable, but listen carefully, all right? Two stories. Here's the first. And these are, by the way, true stories. There was a time not too long ago when the LA Times reported about a man and his wife who died in their late 50s. You see, they were found dead in their apartment, and the autopsy showed that they had both died of malnutrition. What was interesting about this article was that when the bodies were found, well, they searched the whole apartment, and they found in a closet a pile of paper bags filled with $40,000 in cash. Now, I got to tell you, you know, it's a little ridiculous to die of malnutrition and have $40,000 in cash stuffed in your closet. Wouldn't you agree? Now, hold on to this first story as I tell you a second, okay? Another true story. You see, in American history, there was a lady named Hetty Green. Now, she was called, among other things, listen, she was called a lot of things, but among the things that she was called, she was often called America's greatest miser. You see, when she died way back in 1916, that's a long time ago. Listen, when she died back in 1916, she left an estate of over $100 million. Now, that was a whole lot of money back in 1916. I mean, it is still a whole lot of money today, true. But man, that was a whole lot of money back in 1916. Now, Hetty Green, I will tell you by any measure, was one rich lady, but she was also so miserly. Well, she was so miserly, you know, that she ate cold oatmeal because it cost a whole lot of money to heat the water. Oh, my goodness. And at one point, her son had a severe leg injury, and she spent so much time trying to find a free clinic to treat that leg that eventually that leg had to be cut off. All right. Now, I got to tell you, that had to have been one strange lady. I mean, to have over $100 million in your estate and let your son's leg be amputated because you took too much time to find a free clinic. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen, my question to you is, what do these two stories have in common? Do they have anything in common? And if so, what is it? Now, you may be saying something like, oh, okay, Bob, great stories, but I don't know, what in the world do they have in common? And what in the world do they have to do with God's spiritual armor and my personal finances? Well, if that's on your mind, let me give you the answer this way. You see, the book of Ephesians, the New Testament book in the Bible called Ephesians, is written to Christians who are exactly like Hetty Green and that couple who died in Los Angeles. And now you say, Bob, what do you mean? What kind of a Christian is that? Well, let me tell you, it is the kind of a Christian who does not understand the riches he or she has in Christ. It is the kind of a Christian who wanders through life slowly dying from spiritual malnutrition. I mean, it's the kind of a Christian who is forever drinking milk and never really gets to the real feast? The kind of a Christian who does not know how to tap into his resources, maybe because he doesn't know what they are, so he never finds out how rich he is. During all of our studies, I tell you, during my prep time, what I found was that a whole lot of authors call the book of Ephesians the treasure house of the Bible. Others call it the bank of the believer. But I have another definition for the book of Ephesians. I like to see the book of Ephesians, well, I like to see it as your spiritual ATM machine. A very special ATM machine. How so? Well, listen, every time you make a withdrawal, your spiritual blessings account balance does not go down. In other words, you can make spiritual withdrawals from all of the riches of God as often as you want, for as much as you want, and never, never reduce your account balance. My friend, that is the book of Ephesians. You see, as good as your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ may be, I have to believe that you are going to have a revolution of spiritual growth as you learn from the book of Ephesians to see and use what it is that is yours in Jesus Christ. You know, part of what God gives you to use are seven spiritual tools that are tied with the seven pieces of God's spiritual armor that Paul talks about in the New Testament book of Ephesians. Now, why is this so important? Why is this included in our radio seminar? Well, because in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, Paul tells you to, now I'm going to read this from my translation of the Bible, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10 is where Paul tells you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. You see, what Paul is telling you here, right now, is that you, as a Christian, you are engaged in a spiritual battle. Because you ask Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you will often find yourself subject to attacks of the devil. And Paul is telling you, he is telling you to use every piece of God's armor to resist these attacks from the devil, including his financial attacks. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Well, it means that according to the Bible, the devil is real. I mean, my friend, he is not just some cartoon character with a long horn and a pointy tail. It means that you, my friend, have a very real spiritual adversary that you must learn to oppose with genuine spiritual weapons. You see, according to the Bible, worldly weapons, even the best material and financial weapons out there, well, they're never going to be enough. You see, budgeting, it's never going to be enough. Tithing, not going to be enough. Good time management and all of the rest, they simply will never be enough. You see, according to the Bible, you also need spiritual weapons and a strategy that tells you how to use those spiritual weapons. This means that you must learn to combine and use both Bible-based financial principles and applications along with what Paul calls the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, what I want you to see right up front, okay, what you need to see right up front are some hard facts about spiritual financial warfare in your life, right? Hard facts. For example, did you know that the word devil is more of a job description than it is a name. Did you know that? In the Bible, the word Satan is a proper name, and wherever you find Satan written in the Bible, because it's a proper name, it's capitalized, right? Now, on the other hand, I'm sure you have seen the word devil in the Bible, and you'll note that the word devil is never capitalized because the word devil is not a proper name. As the matter of fact, the word devil is from the Greek words dia and balos. The word dia means through, as if to pass through something, and the word balos means repetition, like again and again and again. These words combine to form the Greek word diabolos, which is one of the words that the Bible uses to refer to, or even better, to describe Satan. You see, the word devil or diabolos actually describes the repetitive action of hitting something, anything, again and again and again, until finally, the wall or that membrane is so worn down that it can be completely and thoroughly penetrated. And if you stop to think about it, isn't that exactly how the devil works, isn't it? You know, it is a job description that has become what we use as a name. You see, the devil wants to attack your mind repeatedly, again and again and again, with lies and suggestions and accusations and allegations. Listen, he wants to bombard you with one slanderous assault after another in order to break down your mental resistance and lead you into a maze of selfishness and self-centeredness so that he can take captive your mind, your emotions, and even your finances. And listen, his attacks against you are personal. The devil may try to get you to think something like, just try to walk in divine health. I dare you. Go ahead, try it. Or maybe he will try to get you to think something like, I defy you to succeed in the ministry. Or maybe even something like, I defy you to believe that your personal financial situation is ever going to turn around. You see, the devil's attacks are personal. They are personal. My friend, you need to remember that you have an adversary who is adamantly and actively, well, he actively opposes righteousness. Do you realize that? Listen, he hates the gospel. He detests even the mere presence of the church. He works around the clock to discredit the message and the person of Jesus Christ. Listen, the devil works to tear you down, wear you out, swallow you up in self-pity, and make a shambles out of your finances. My friend, according to the Bible, the devil's entrance into your personal financial life is allowed primarily through your personal negligence. You see, he slips in through an undisciplined, an unorganized and an uncommitted mind, and then he begins to wage warfare against your mind and your flesh and your finances. But what can you do? Can you do anything? Oh my goodness, according to the Bible, rather than just ignore your circumstances or maybe even to try and run away from them and hide, what you need to do is to learn and apply Bible-based financial principles. Yes, you do. But listen, more than that, the Bible tells you that you must also learn how to use God's spiritual armor. That way, according to the Bible, you can stand firm and will not give in to the devil. You will not give him even an inch of new ground. And as a matter of fact, you can learn to boldly move to retake some of the ground you've already lost. And even in the future, you might even be in a position to conquer new spiritual and financial ground. You need to remember that Christianity is not a playground. According to the Bible, Christianity is a battlefield. And God gives you his spiritual armor to pick up and to put on as you enter into that battle. Now, I know that this is a whole lot of information that's just coming fast and furious. So really what we need to do right now is to take a breath and do a little review, all right? Now, do you remember? Remember the couple from L.A. and Hetty Green? True, they had to endure some tough times, but they refused to use the resources they had to walk through those tough times, right? The circumstances of life for that couple in L.A. and for Hetty Green, they were real. And they proved devastating because they did not choose to use the tools. Listen, they did not choose to use the resources. They did not choose to use the provisions they had available to them. My friend, your spiritual and your financial circumstances, they are real as well. But you are not only going to recognize the cause of your circumstances, you are going to learn to use the spiritual tools God gives you so your spiritual and your financial circumstances are no longer going to prove devastating. The times that we are going to spend together discovering and uncovering God's spiritual armor, these are going to be some fantastic times together. Now, as you work your way through this radio seminar, you're going to see, first of all, why Paul said his teaching on God's spiritual armor was the most important teaching in all of the book of Ephesians. And then you are going to begin to take a detailed look at each piece of armor, both from the Roman soldier's point of view and from God's point of view, all right? But listen, as you go forward, you need to remember a couple of things. The first thing that you need to do to remember is that he tells you to get dressed for battle. He tells you, he does not ask you, he tells you to pick up and to put on the whole armor of God. Now, secondly, you need to also remember that it is God's armor, okay? You don't get that spiritual armor, you don't get it from your denomination, you don't get it from your church or your school or from your mom or your dad. Mm-mm. You don't get it from doing good works and feeding the poor. Oh no, that's not how it works. So how do you get God's spiritual armor? Well, do you recall God's first question to you? Do you remember? He asked you, just like he asked Moses and so many others, he said, "Will you show me your hand?" And remember, that question was to set or reset into place your relationship with God, right? You see, according to the Bible, you received God's armor when you answered that question and accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. That's when you got it. But then recall God's second question, what is in your hand? And that question is a call for you to discover what God has placed into your hand. You already have it. You just may not know that you have it, and you may not know how to use it. So God says, hey, let's make sure that you see what you have so I can use it. You see, part of what he has already placed into your hands happens to be his financial armor. God has already given you all that you need to fight and to win spiritually as well as financially. Now you must see what it is that you have been given. You just have to see it. And by the way, that's what our Financial Freedom God's Way radio seminar is all about, right? Discovering and using and passing along the spiritual and the financial principles and application that God has for you. You are going to see all of that. As we prayerfully discover what Paul has to say about spiritual warfare and God's spiritual armor, we are also going to discover a lot more about ourselves and why we may have succeeded in the past when it comes to finances and why we may have failed in the past when it comes to managing the material areas of our life. Okay? So, I'll see you next time as we begin to dig into the 6 critical financial spiritual armor verses, all right? It's going to be another great time together. I'll see you then. Don't miss it. Now, as you probably already know, money flipping cons have long been popular on Instagram and Twitter, but as TikTok TikTok's popularity grows, so do the con artists. You need to watch out for the TikTok scam that promises to turn a few hundred dollars worth of cryptocurrency into thousands of dollars in no time at all. Here is how that scam works. What happens is that you're scrolling through TikTok when you come across a video showing a whole pile of cash. And the author says that they had earned that stack of money in just a couple of days by investing in cryptocurrency. Now, even though you may not know a whole lot about cryptocurrency, this so-called investor can help get you the same kind of return for a modest fee, or better yet, hey, they can even give you 100% guarantee that they can triple your money in less than a week. So when you contact that supposed investor through one of the many messaging apps, they will be polite, they're going to be professional, and they're going to ask you to send some money, usually a couple hundred dollars to start with, and they're going to ask you to do that through a digital wallet service such as PayPal. Now, they may even ask you to buy the cryptocurrency yourself and send it to them. And then what they're going to do is they're going to invest your money where allegedly it's going to start multiplying right away. Well, as you might expect, this scam isn't at all what it seems. And when you try to get your money back, the scammer is going to claim that, well, you need to pay them just a few more fees. And if you don't, you're going to end up losing a large part of your return. Or listen, they may even threaten to take some legal action against you. In either case, the scammers are going to try to extend this con as long as they can get you to keep paying fees. All right, now, that's what the scam is all about, but what can you do to avoid it? Not only to avoid this scam, but a whole lot of the other tech support scams as well. All right, I'll give you four things. First, prayerfully use good judgment. Get-rich-quick schemes and investments are nearly always scams. And as you know what they say, if it sounds too good to be true, yeah, okay. The second thing you can do is to do some research. Before you contact somebody through TikTok or any of the other social media platforms, look them up online. Hey, listen, if they're cons, you're going to be able to see some people's comments. You're going to be able to read a little bit about it. And third, never, never, never give in to scare tactics. Any investment that you need to make right now, this very minute, likely a scam. And if they threaten legal action against you, it's likely a scam. Just hang up the phone, delete the email. And finally, learn how digital wallet services work. I mean, treat any money that you send through a digital wallet, you treat it like cash. Why? Well, because once you send the money, there's going to be little that you can do to get that money back if you end up being scammed. Now it is time for one of my favorite times together. It's another minute with Maxwell, where Christian leadership author and teacher, trainer, mentor, and coach John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word impact.
One of our team members from Cambodia, whose name is Vuth, gave me a word for today's Minute with Maxwell, and the word is impact. I think almost every person you talk to, if they were having an honest conversation with you, they would say, I would like to have an impact, maybe on my family. I'd like to have an impact at work. I would like to have impact with maybe some of my neighbors, my friends. And when we use that word, we're talking about, I would like to either do something, say something, be something in such a way that it would not only get their attention, but it would get their followership. In other words, they would not only kind of stop for a moment and say, wow, that was important, but they would maybe start then to follow us. I think the word impact really could be summed up in the fact that we just really want to make a difference. And if we want to make a difference in people's lives, we want to have impact on them. So I would encourage today, if you want to have impact on someone else, ask yourself a simple question. What can I say today? What can I do today that will be a little extraordinary? It will exceed perhaps the average expectation. Because if you can do that, you'll have impact. I hope that you can do that today.
Thank you, John Maxwell. For now, well, it's time to close, so let's do that with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us again today to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we will see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.